From the mean streets of Essex, England, broadcasting around the world, this is Whatcast.
Hello, this is Whatcast. I'm Matt and I'm with CL. He's just put his name as CL. So let's read out whatever he puts. CL, is this conspiracy, or?
Yeah, I'm gonna put something else. I've got a little joke for you, right? It's a dad joke, so beware.
Well, that's all we do on here.
Oh,
I had done a daily what the other day, and one of my things on there was I hate people that tell jokes, so try and make me laugh.
Yeah, here's one. What do you call a Russian?
Oh no, is it gonna? Are you gonna? Right, hang on. Whenever you talk about another country or anything, it's like, oh, everyone's gonna complain that you're doing something inappropriate. So go on, carry on. It's Russian. We're allowed to talk about Russians, apparently.
Yeah. So what do you call a Russian with three bollocks?
Who'd you nick another bollock off?
Yeah.
Fuck me, Lee. I heard that when I was about fucking 12. And I ain't even joking.
I heard that yesterday.
I remember exactly when I heard that joke. I was around my uncle's in London when I was a child.
Yeah. Is it Mike Reed?
Was my uncle Mike Reed?
Well, you're from London, so. Swears.
Swears. Fuck me. I can't believe that I knew your joke.
I know. It's madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like cognitive dissonance to me, mate.
Sorry, I'm Russian. I must go.
Yeah. God you will get a joke out.
It is cognitive dissonance.
Right. So today on Whatcast, if you're a first-time listener because you've seen the title and you thought you're going to come on here and do this Yuba County 5, that is the topic of the show. So you might be a bit surprised. Well, we've opened up with two Russian jokes. It's a bit weird, right? Because the Yuba County is in America. And it's about five men going missing back in, when was it, 78? 1978?
Yeah,
I think it was. Well, this was suggested by Stevie, who's a friend of Lee's wife, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is unusual that anybody that actually knows us in our real life ever listens to this. So, Stevie, you are an original.
Yeah. OG.
Yeah. So cheers for that. And cheers for everyone else that gives the, we've got on Patreon, there's a chat room on there. If you're on Patreon, go check it out. And that's where the best place to kind of give topic ideas and stuff in there for the show and for the Patreon shows. Right. Bit of feedback before we get into topic then, Lee. We want to get straight into it because Lee's informed me that he hasn't got a charger for his laptop and it's his charger's at work. Lee's got about an hour. His laptop's one of them laptops that's all right for a bit and then suddenly just starts going because it's 60 years old. That's what my phone does. Right?
It's actually quite new.
You've got net of inter problems today, it seems like. You keep not stopping and starting, yeah. It definitely ain't me anymore because I've got Virgin 200 whatever sitting right there.
It's probably the wind outside, mate. The wind affects the wires underground.
Wind in the willows?
Yeah.
Yeah. So hang on.
No! Why?
That's carry on.
No, the geezer at Carry On plays in the TV and wins in the windows. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So first of all, we've got a bit of feedback from last Sunday's show. So this is the Jaded Soul. I had no idea what you were talking about. All I heard was Flat Earth. Great show though. Well, that was from Adam.
Flat Earth. China.
This is from, I'll let you guess who this one's from, right? Hello, ladies. China, Polybius, China. That's go down, go boo boo. No, mate, you unbelievable clowns. That is the cognitive dissonance. You pair of pricks. Good job, though, Bo China.
Bo.
Well spotted. Bo is a bit. Bo, are you taking meds, mate? For these, yeah. I think he's got another one in a minute as well. Neil Cross, I loved my Atari 2600 playing Q-Bert and Decathlon, which was just wanking training, but upgraded to Commodore 64 and then used to wait an hour for the game to load. Good days.
I've just spotted something in those feedback things there. We had Bo first, then we had Neil Cross, Crossbow.
Gospo! Oh, my God.
I'm on phone today.
You are on phone with your 40-year-old jokes. Not bad.
Yeah.
This is, so I put a show out. I had a conversation on TikTok. I put a show out Friday, and it was myself, an ex-conspiracy theorist, and a gay lefty was in the conversation, what? Right? So everyone had different opinions on everything. It's about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Ha, gay.
Lee, have you had a drink? Sometimes I wonder, like, first thing Sunday mornings, you seem a little bit drunk sometimes. So you're all right.
Yeah, I'm fine, mate.
Have you been up since early?
No, I was going to watch WrestleMania last night, but I fell asleep.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Fell asleep? You fell asleep? Fuck me. Must have been tired. So I got feedback from that show. And then I got something else to say after for other feedback. So Adrian Torres, love the shell. I think he means the show. I could listen to it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. Thank you. But please, for the love of God, get Nathan Oakley on here. Love it when he freaks out stupidly. Nathan Oakley won't come on here. Definitely not. But
it doesn't go down. Are you dumb?
So there he is for you. This is from Beau, and he literally says, wake up. Right, that's so he hasn't gone on to a rant about everything we say. But that was a little rant that I did on the Daily What a couple of weeks ago. By the way, Daily What, go subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. If you like the ranty shows, I do a couple a week usually. I'll drop a link in the show notes to this one. Vishal Patel, what an absolutely quality conversation with everyone without everyone acting like they know everything. Well done, lads. Cheers, Vishal. So that was the feedback. Also got some feedback on that show, which I'm now going to quickly talk about before we get into topic here. So along the lines of not many, only a couple, but along the lines of there's a guy called Lewis I was talking to that had some views on vaccines and some views on trans that I disagreed with, right? That I do disagree with, that I always do disagree with, and that I did disagree with to Lewis. And Lewis was trying to make his point. He was being very polite and very letting everyone else speak, because me and the other guy were both arguing with him. But obviously, people think I haven't gone far enough with this. And this sort of stuff really annoys me, Lee, because my stance on the vaccine has always been completely the same the whole way through. I've never said that I thought anyone was trying to put nano anything. I can't even speak because he's probably going to go to YouTube. And this is another point I'm going to get to.
Yeah.
So I've never been on the extreme level of that there's something sinister, but I've always been on the lines of the other thing that I made clear to Lewis that I believed in this show, that they're not 100%. Everyone has had to admit it now, and there should have been transparency is what I've said, right? And that's what I said on the show. And as far as the trans thing, I don't give a fuck what people do. I don't give a fuck if people dress up, men want to be women or whatever and want to be called this and that. I've always got a problem with sexualization in front of children, which I made clear on the show. And I've always got a problem with false feeding people shit, which I made clear on the show.
Yeah.
But obviously, people that don't have shows or courage have decided that I didn't annihilate this guy for trying to say that these things weren't massive problems in his head, like in his world.
Yeah.
I've somehow, you know, not been true to the show. And let me just say this, right? You are more than welcome to go start a podcast and put your name to your extreme views. Don't ask me to put my job, my life in danger to give views that I don't agree with, because they make you feel like your voice is out there. You put your voice out there. Anyone can do this, right? Anyone can start a podcast, get a platform, even just make a TikTok video. Anyone can do it, putting their views out there. You can't go as far as sometimes you'd like to, because you're on a platform that will immediately ban you for doing so. So you try to talk around the issue and be as blatant as you can. If I couldn't disagree with him more, and I didn't, I disagreed with him, right? And so did the other guy. But these people, you, and this is the sort of feedback that bothers me the most. I don't like the show feedback. Doesn't bother me at all. Each to their own, whatever. You do you. I don't care. But you're not speaking for me. You should be ashamed. Go speak for you then.
I was going to say, it's like, that's the beauty of constructive
conversation. Exactly.
Is that you let the other person have their view.
Exactly.
You don't try and force your view onto that person. It's a matter of opinions at the end of the day. And the thing is, and that's the problem with the world.
Yes.
The problem with the world is they force their view on you.
And they won't listen to the other view.
No, that's right.
And that's how the conversation in this show, if you've not heard it, go back, it's Friday, I'll put it out. It's just a recording from a TikTok live that I did after a flat earth debate that I was having. It's just that the same people was on. And I agreed with them on some things, and I agreed, like, Lewis came on and was anti-flat earth and was making good points on that and everything. And then the conversation turned to different topics. Another guy came on and we covered all the other stuff. But
yeah.
This illusion that somehow I've not been strong enough with my views. I was very strong with my views, but you can't start throwing words around on these platforms because my life would immediately shut down and I'd be kicked, and I've already lost an account on there. And not only that, the guy wasn't being rude and was agreeing with most of what I was saying. This guy was under no circumstances saying he agrees with sexualization of children. The point he was making was that he hasn't seen that the people to blame are not so much the drag queens for doing it. The people that bring them in are the ones to blame, because they're the ones that know what the drag queens just doing what they do. And they're bringing them into the area where there is children. And then everyone's blaming the drag queen for doing what they always do, which I kind of get. But I still was very clear that I don't like it. And I think it's got no place in their children.
Yeah,
but obviously, but more with the jibbies. Like I can't really speak on that to say any more about that. But the kind of feedback I got on that is there's a Scottish guy on that app that's literally there's been damaged. Right, I've got to be really careful what I say because this is going out, and this is why you have to talk around things. This is what people don't understand when you don't have the balls to get your own fucking voice online. Right, you don't have to deal. Yeah, you don't have to deal with the censorship. You don't have to deal with losing everything. And you don't have to deal with real life, real world consequences of people thinking you're speaking out of turn and affecting your real life. Me and Lee have both got jobs here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so at the end of the day, if you want to get your voice strongly out there, you go do it for you. But he was speaking about a guy that he's debated, that I actually watched him debate. And this guy's Scottish and he's saying that he was damaged. And this guy's also been on TV directly talking to Rishi Sunak on a news show. This Scottish guy that was on TikTok that I know. I know him.
I see that.
Yeah. And Lewis knows him. We've both spoke to him. And he is 100% adamant that he was damaged. And... Rishi Sunak, let me put it this way. Rishi Sunak, the fact that he's got a compensation scheme in place for 120 grand for everyone that's been damaged means it ain't 100% safe, don't it? Otherwise, you wouldn't have that in place, would you? So I don't need to make any more point about that. I've said I thought he was damaged by it. I've said I think that they skewed the issue, that they pretended that it didn't pose any damage and it's actually damaged people. And Lewis agreed with me. I don't know what more I can do on the topic when I'm being censored and the guy's agreeing with me anyway. So yeah. I don't really know what else you want me to say. But by all means. If you want to give yourself a platform online, if you want to come on this show, put your name and your face to your views, come on and do it, right?
Yeah.
Don't expect me to speak for you so you can carry on with life not voicing your opinion. It really winds me up. Yeah. You're not going far enough for me. You go for you then.
But the thing is, the far enough in their opinion is where you start being... with personal attacks.
Well, it's not even to that point, you got to shut anyone down that's got a slight disagreement, because this is the binary thing that we have to go for now. You can't have two opinions. You can't have, oh, I see your point, mate, but I still think this.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to hear that anymore. It's all so fucking fight, fight, fight. But the fact of the matter is that the people that are so vocal about everyone else not having the courage to speak, what, they've always got no face on their profile, some numbers for their name. It's complete cowards.
Yeah,
they don't want anyone to know who they are, but they want everyone to speak on their behalf. Well, I've given my frank opinions all the way through this for 4 years, and so has Lee. So don't, and that is a risk in itself, in a sense, because people could take that the wrong way or think that it means something that it doesn't mean. I don't think we've got any extreme views.
Honestly, there was many times where I've said something, shit, and I fucking should have
exactly.
said, you know what I mean? It's like, because you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what sort of repercussions and things are going to come your way if you say something. Like, this is why we don't talk about race. We don't talk about anything like that because we don't want
to. Not because we're itching to do it. It's because it's so sensitive that if you say something slightly what you didn't quite mean or something's taken a different way, your fucking life could be over. Like, and this is the risk we take coming on here every single week talking about these topics. Yeah. So give us a fucking break. Like, or you didn't, like, anyone that listens to that show, you'll know that I disagreed with Lewis. Lewis knew that I disagreed with him. His face was flabbergasted sometimes, if you could actually see and watch it, because of the things that I was disagreeing with him about. But a lot of the points, to his credit, he did concede. And in retaliation to that, I have to let him finish his points and get what he's saying and his justification for his opinions out there. That's a conversation, people. You know, I'm not a fucking shock jock. Do you know what I mean?
Who was that person you brought on that had, like, stuff coming out of his mouth?
Oh, yeah, that was a flat earther. That was the best flat earth argument ever.
Got it! Oh, mate, that did crack me up.
But that's what I mean. And another thing with the flat earth people, it's like that no matter how many times I do these lives, no matter how many times I just have, I open the forum to flat earthers to come on and actually speak to me, that is the type of people I get. And then people on this show that listen to the show are going, yeah, but you won't have anyone on that knows what they're talking about. The forum is open. Anyone can join. All they've got to do is request and I will accept. The fact that they all sound like fucking morons kind of tells you quite a lot about flat earthers, doesn't it? Fucking hell. It's not my fault that no one can make a decent argument, is it? Right, anyway, let's get on with the topic anyway. Oh, and also, a couple of flat earthers have unfollowed me on there now because I laugh at them a lot, like the other flat earthers, so they're taking it personally. Aww. Blocked. Oh, you're blocked. Good. Fuck off then. Right, if you like the amount of shitty
hashtag baby cry.
The amount of shitty prats that I'm still friendly with and still talk to that constantly post memes about globetards think this and they've got like buildings on the top bottom of a globe. I don't give a fuck. To me, that just shows me how stupid you are. I laugh, I scroll on, I talk to you next time. But then I mock you with videos. I can't talk to him anymore. Good. Fucking do one, you fucking babies. Anyway. Yuba County 5. 20 minutes in. It just annoys me. It's not like, oh, you can't take criticism. It's not even criticism. Yeah. Criticize the show you want, but don't. If you've got the balls, just an example of what I'm talking about. There was a podcast called We Say It Podcast, Scottish guy. I spoke to him a bit. He was on TikTok, and I used to do lives, my lives got shut down a few times. So I'm like, I've really got to be careful the topics I'm even letting other people talk about on here. I've got to stay in control, keep it to a couple of people only, so it doesn't get out of control, and I can control the conversation. Yeah. I can mute people if they speak out of turn. And he's come on and he's gone, just fucking say what you want, mate. Fucking who cares? You're playing into the system by allowing yourself to be censored. And I said, mate, when you've got enough followers that you can go live, you can show me how it's done, right? You show me how it's done with your podcast. We Just Say It. Will you show me? And he got enough people. He went live. To his credit, he really, really tried to show me and lost his account immediately. So that's what I mean, right? So it's all very well giving it the big bollocks. I told him what would happen. I told him I'd already lost my account, and he come on and now he's on Rumble somewhere. I don't know what he's doing, but he's been a lot more sensitive than he was before, put it that way. Anyway, so what do we know about this, Sindley? But did you watch that documentary?
I did, mate, and I watched a little bit today as well.
Right, okay.
It so. Also, the whole thing seems quite strange to me, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's a really good shout by Stevie, this one.
Yeah. I know. It's I kind of called, when I watched it, is that the one I want? No, that ain't the one I want. What am I doing here? Is that it? No, that ain't it either.
Get Stevie on the show.
There, is that it? That's what I wanted. Right, so, I kind of called the what someone said. Like, I'll get to it when we get to it. But why the fuck is this so fucking big on my screen? I've got no to. Has that changed anything on our screen?
No.
It doesn't really matter. It's only words anyway.
No.
Right, so the Yuba County 5 then is, I hope I'm saying Yuba County. Is it Yuba County?
You're not saying it right, mate.
What is it then?
Yuba County.
Oh, no. I was then. Right, so we are... fuck off, baby. We are a group. No, we're not. The Yuba County Five. We're a group of young men from Yuba County, California, in the United States, each with a mild intellectual disabilities or psychiatric conditions. Could you believe that the news articles at the time saying retarded men going into the... fucking terrible. How the fuck, even back then, can you speak like that? Ridiculous. The fact that they're less than then because... like they had some mild learning difficulties. They were just blokes trying to go out and watch a fucking game of football or game of sports, whatever they was going to.
Basketball.
Oh, yeah, basketball. The World Series of Baseball, even though it's only played by one country. the United States, with intellectual disabilities of psychiatric conditions, who were reported missing after attending a college basketball game at California State University. Chico, what did Razor Ramon
it's
turn
Chico
up?
Time.
Oh, Chico time. On the night of February 24th, 1978, four of them, Bill Sterling, 29, Jack Hewitt, 24, Ted Weah, can I say that right? Weah? I don't know.
Weah.
George Weah's brother. They all are, aren't they? Everyone's George Weah's brother. Yeah. Do you remember that in football? Yeah. Everyone from Africa was the cousin of George Weah. Yeah. And Jack Madruga. 30 were later found dead. The fifth, Gary Mathias, 25, was never been found. Several days after their disappearance, the group's car, a 1969 Mercury Montego. Mercury? Is that like a car brand then?
I think so.
Mercury!
Was that made by Ford?
Yeah, probably. Well, Montego here was Ford, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When they existed. Yeah. No, they weren't. Montego was Austin, wasn't it? Or Aston.
Austin Montego, yeah.
Yeah. Owned by Madruga.
Where is Montego from?
What?
Where's Montego from? Austin, Texas.
was found abandoned in a remote area of Plumas National Forest. On a higher mountain dirt road that was far out the way back to Yuba County. Far out of their way back to Yuba County. So they drove like miles away from the path they should have been on, really. Investigators could not determine why the car was abandoned. That's because they didn't have Hamish Gamble on the case. Where is he?
Yeah, I know, yeah. He would have solved that, mate.
He would have definitely not found any. If he was on the case, they'd all five still be missing. Hamish. Right. It was a good working order. So the car hadn't broke down. It could easily have been pushed out of the snowpack it was in. At that time, no trace of the men was found. It was fucking weird because it wasn't even like, it was only snowy in the mountains. It's not like they was in the snow anyway. They've gone up to the snow. After the snow melted in June, hang on a minute, it took 3 months to melt? 4 months?
Yeah, up that high, mate.
Can't imagine it anymore, can you?
No.
This was before global warming. After the snow melted in June 78, four of the men's bodies were discovered. Ted Weah, George's cousin, was found in a U.S. Forest Service trailer some 12 miles north from the car. Only bones were left of Jack Madruga, Bill Sterling and Jackie Hewitt who, as a result of scavenging animals. So what sort of scavenging animals would they have up there then?
Bears, mountain lions, bird of prey, every animal, mate. I think apart from the UK, the world has every dangerous animal.
Well, yeah, exactly. We're just mild weather, mild animals, mild everything, aren't we?
Yeah, quite mild.
Bouncy balls, mate.
Yeah. That's what everyone says about our country. We are had apparently lived for as long as 3 months after the men were last seen. Can you survive without food for 3 months?
Well, the thing is, it's really strange because there was a food locker in that cabin.
Yeah, it says here, despite ample supply of food and heating materials nearby.
Yeah. So just outside the cabin, there was like these lockers, not lockers that you would imagine, but these big, like, funnels.
You don't have to put a band in them.
Yeah.
Put a band in. Or bring your own padlock.
Yeah.
No, mate. Yeah.
So they had, like, loads of food in this locker. And also, in the cabin was things to make a fire as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the fuck these people died.
Things to make a fire? What, you mean two sticks?
Yeah. Like that.
That's impossible. Like people that used to say to me when I was a kid, if you get two sticks and rub them together, that will cause a fire. The amount of hours are wasted on that.
I know, me as well.
Because I'd always get like two twigs from like the bush and think that could do it.
Yeah.
And then like the brown would peel off and you got that green fresh shit underneath. And I think I'm getting a fire out of that. No, Matt. No, mate.
No, mate.
You need it to be dry and hot. Not fucking fresh as a daisy.
I've got more fires out of, well, I didn't cause fires when I was younger, but do you know when you used to get the magnifying glass over the ant?
Yeah.
I cause more fires doing that.
Yeah, if you put a magnifying glass over a bit of paper, you can probably get a fire.
Yeah.
But not two sticks rubbing together. Yeah. But this bloke
if I knew I was living near the wilderness and it was hot or anything else like that, I would actually...
If you lived near the wilderness, it wouldn't be the wilderness, would it? Because the wilderness is like nowhere near anything. If I was in the middle of the wilderness, if my council estate was in the middle of the wilderness, it's not going to be, is it?
Where are you going and what are you taking? A magnifying glass.
Yeah, that's what I would take. Special object.
No food then. No. A magnifying glass.
Say what? If you can take a utility belt, what would you take? Oh, magnifying glass. And oh, you've still got more than Batman then. Batman's the worst superhero ever with no powers and a utility belt with a bit of string on it. That's it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a magnifying glass in case I ever got found, needed to make a fire in a cabin in the middle of the woods with a plentiful amount of food. The thing is, he had a plentiful amount of food, but no tin opener. No one's mentioning that, are they? So,
no one did mention that.
I bet that's the case.
They didn't have easy open tins in them days like they do have here.
No, they didn't. Like even a fucking can of Coke back then was our job with a ring pull. Do you remember the ring pulls you used to pull off?
Yeah.
Like they used to come off and then they'd be like scattered all around the curbs everywhere. Yeah. Or you'd put them on your finger, go, I'm married. No, you're not, you're a prick. Where was missing his shoes, investigators, but not Hamish, found Matthias's own shoes in the US Forest Service trailer, suggesting Matthias also survived for some time beyond the group's last sighting. A local man later came forward claiming that he had spent the same night in his own car a short distance away from where the Mercury was found. The witness told police, why has this local man never been mentioned, or has he?
I know, he never got mentioned in the doc.
No, so this is the murderer. Yeah, I was there. I saw them.
Yeah.
The witness told the police he had seen and heard people around his car that night and twice called for help, only for them to grow silent and turn off their flashlights. This and the considerable distance from the car to where the bodies were found led to the suspicion of foul play.
That's really nice of him, isn't it? Help, help, we're lost. Could you turn off your flashlights and try and sleep?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flashlights.
Flashlights.
The background to this. While he was stationed in West Germany, before the wall came down then, as part of his United States Army service in the early 70s, Gary Matthias, a resident of Marysville, California, developed drug problems. This eventually led to him being diagnosed with schizophrenia and being given psychiatric discharge. Matthias returned to his parents' home in Marysville and began treatment at a local mental hospital where it had been difficult at first. He was nearly arrested for assault twice and often experienced psychotic episodes that landed him in a local Veterans Administration hospital. By 1978, he was being treated on an outpatient basis with stalazine.
It must be a drug.
And cogentin or something. Stella. That's not a good one. Wife beaters,
yeah.
And was considered by his physicians to be one of our sterling success cases.
Mm, yeah.
Pound that sterling.
We could have killed all four men.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, exactly. And that's when I was watching this show, that's the first thing I said. It was him.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I said he was in the army, I thought it'll be the one that they haven't found. I didn't know who they hadn't found. I thought it will definitely be this
Gotti
bloke that's been in the army. And I think he's probably the hardest one because he's an army man and he's got schizophrenia, been done for violence in the past. So
Gotti,
I thought it was definitely him.
everything points to him, mate. Everything points to him.
Yeah.
What's that?
Other than people with no arms.
Yeah, because the thing is, this guy, he used to like go hiking for miles, like in all conditions. Like, and they said like he wasn't really like, because the other four had special needs and some sort of like mental issues in regards to depression and stuff like that. They said he didn't belong in this group because
he was just a schizophrenic. And an ex-druggie. Yeah. He didn't really have. I don't know if he had learning difficulties or even mild learning difficulties because he went into the army and stuff.
Yeah.
So probably just he was kind of. They were saying on the documentary, wasn't they, that the other four didn't really like him and kind of got bullied to do things with him rather than actually do it by choice.
Mm. Yeah.
So everything was pointing to him, especially the fact that he's probably still alive. Yeah. Matthias supplemented his army disability pay by working on his stepfather's gardening business. Off the job, outside of his family, he was close friends with four slightly older men who either had slight intellectual disabilities, Sterling and Hewitt, or were informally considered slow learners, Weir and Madruga. The latter is also an army veteran. So did he know him in the army then? I don't remember him saying that.
Apparently there was three of them that are ex-army veterans.
Yeah.
But I know this Matthias, I think he served the longest.
Yeah. The men lived in Yuba County, nearby Marysville. Like Matthias, each man lived with his parents, all of whom referred to them collectively as the boys. The men's favourite leisure activity was sports. Their families said that when the five of them got together, it was usually to play a game or to watch one. They played basketball together on a team called Gateway Gators, a team supported by a local program for people with mental disabilities. On February the 25th, the Gators were due to play their first game in a week-long tournament sponsored by the Special Olympics, for which the winners would get a free week in Los Angeles. The five men had prepared the night before, some even laying out their uniforms and asking their parents to wake them up on time. They decided to drive to Chico that night. I wish I'd have read this before. I'd have played Chico's music at this point. Chico time. That night to cheer on the U.S. Davis basketball team. UC Davis basketball team. In an away game against Chico State, Madruga, the only member of the group besides Matthias who had a driver's license, drove the group 50 miles north to the Chico State campus in his turquoise and white 69 turquoise. Is David Icke's favorite color.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Mercury Montego. The men wore only light coats against the cool temperatures of the upper Sacramento Valley at night that time of the year. So the disappearance. This is all Wikipedia, by the way. After the Davis team won the game, the group got back to Madruga's car and drove a short distance from Chico State to Bears Market in downtown Chico, where they bought snacks, sodas, and cartons of milk to drink. It was shortly before the store's 10 p.m. closing time. The clerk remembered the men because she was annoyed that such a large group had come in and delayed her from beginning the process of closing the store. Well, that's tough shit, love.
That is fucking pretty annoying.
it is annoying, but shut earlier then. Like, if you say we're shut at 10, that's when you're shut. Not 5 to 10 because you fancy getting home at 10.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, right? Scabby bitch. Yeah. None of the men were seen alive again at that point at their homes. Some of the parents waited up to make sure they returned. When morning came and they had not, police were notified. Police in Butte, is that?
Butte. Yeah.
Is gas going down? Go boom, boom.
You got to answer that, though.
It's Dasko bam bam boom boom.
Dasko bam bam boom boom.
It doesn't go down. Are you dumb?
It's triggered every time. Yuba counties began searching along the route the men took in Chico. They found no sign of them. A few days later, a Plumas National Forest Ranger. I always think forest rangers are a bit weird.
They are, yeah. They always find shit, don't they?
Because there's a lot of bears around, that's why. Like, they always find the bear shit everywhere.
They always find stuff. It's like if you're a forest ranger, say your forest
Does
is
anyone
like,
ever think the forest ranger did it, like, in any of the things that they find?
No. Was no suspicion.
I think in every instance, the forest ranger did it.
Because the forest ranger knows the forest better than everyone else.
Yeah.
So he knows where to hide them.
Yeah.
When I first initially watched this documentary, I thought to myself, right, 5 men going missing in a forest. There's bound to be some Bigfoot conspiracy or ghost conspiracy, alien abduction or something like that. And when I didn't hear none of that in this documentary, I thought, this is going to be a shit documentary.
Yeah. Was it a shit documentary? Did you watch any of the other shows in this? This was on Unexplained.
No, I didn't watch any of the other shows, but I found them quite interesting. The really interesting thing with this documentary, and it could be coupled with Lekedi's cabin murder, only 82 miles away from where this took place. So that's actually quite a good one to do as well, because the Keddie's cabin murder is about 4 people murdered in this cabin, and they couldn't find who done it.
Right. There's always these backer beyond places in America.
I know. But the thing is, like, a lot in these places, if you like the names, Bo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, they all have names like that and they all sound like hillbillies. And you think to yourself, right.
They was. In that documentary, I thought everyone that was speaking was like a big handlebar moustache, ponytail.
Yeah, that gives you the handlebar moustache. I was like, mate, you've gone too far with that.
You look like the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Hang on a minute. We better get on with this story. We're going way off here, right? So the forest ranger told investigators he'd seen the Mercury parked in the forest along Auroville Quincy Road on February the 25th. At the time, he had not considered it significant, since many residents often drive up that road to the Sierra Nevada on winter weekends to go cross-country skiing on the extensive trail system. But after reading the missing person's bulletin, he recognized the car and led the deputies to it on February 28th.
There was an interesting thing on Reddit, right? So there was this guy who commented on this case on Reddit, and he said, like, because he had a car back in the days of when this took place. And he said, if you knew how to drive in those conditions, your car wouldn't have got stuck.
Yeah.
Like, but there was no evidence of them trying to get the car from being stuck.
No, they just walked away. Yeah. They said they could have easily got it out. But they said that it's got a quickly touch on it here. It says in this, it goes into detail, but basically they've bought all these sweets and things like fucking, you know, 10 or 12 year olds would do. Like, I would celebrate this game and we bought all these fucking chocolate and milkshakes and stuff. And they've drunk them all in the car. Like, they're drunk and at everything in the car. Like, they've had a little mini party in there. And that's what it looks like. So it says, One of the questions of where the car was its location, 70 miles from Chico, far off any direct route to Yuba City or Marysville. None of the men's families could speculate as to why they might have driven up a long and winding dirt road on a winter night deep into a high elevation remote forest without any extra clothing. Mm. They wouldn't, would they?
No, but there was also a theory, the reason why they went that way as well. Mm. Matthias, in the neighbouring state. You mean?
Gary?
Yeah, Gary. Matthias wanted to visit a friend in the town called Forbes.
Right.
And that was en route to Forbes. So I don't know if he would said, oh, let's quickly go there and I'll visit a friend, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and on the way there.
Why would you abandon the car though to like walk off?
Yeah,
like you could just you'd at the very least stay in the car until you were found, wouldn't you? Like it's warmer than
exactly. You would be warmer in that car.
No, you wouldn't just go randomly walking into the woods.
No,
unless he.
But maybe it was there. Maybe they got really scared and it was there, like because they were. I don't want to say like it in a horrible way. Like I don't know. Did they have like fear, like little kids would have fear, even though they're grown men?
Yeah, probably freaked out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like would they have thought, fuck this? We need to try and get home somehow.
Yeah,
because they might have been afraid of their parents being angry with them and stuff like that. So
maybe
I don't know. It's really strange. It's like
So they're saying here that they don't know why they've dumped the car here. The road was closed for winter, apparently, but where the snow lawn was at the time of year, just a short of where the road was closed for the winter, the car had become stuck in some snowdrifts, and there was evidence that the men had tried to spin the wheels to get out of it. There was evidence. So police noted that the snow was not very deep and that five healthy young men should have easily been able to push it out. The keys were not present, suggesting at first the car had been abandoned because it might not have been operating properly. With the intention of returning later with help, when police hotwired the car, the engine started immediately and the fuel gauge indicated the tank was a quarter full. The mystery deepened after police towed the car back to the station for more thorough examinations. The Mercury's undercarriage had no dents, gouges, or even mud scrapes, not even its low-hanging muffler. Despite having been driven a long distance up a mountain road with many bumps, ruts, and potholes, either the driver had been extremely careful or it was someone familiar with the road, a familiarity Madruga was not known to have. So he'd never really driven up there before, the guy that was driving. His family said that Madruga would not have let someone else drive the car. The car was unlocked and had a window rolled down where it was found. The family indicated it was unlike him to leave the car so unsecured. Efforts to search the vicinity were hampered by a severe snowstorm that day. 2 days later, after searchers in snow cats nearly became lost themselves. Fuck me. The rescue team got lost.
Yeah.
What did these blokes have? There was no trace of the men other than the car. So the sightings in response to local media coverage of the case, police received several reports of some or all of the men being sighted after they had left Chico, including some reports of them being seen elsewhere in California or in the country. But people are always going to do that, don't they?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I saw him in New York. Well, you didn't because no plane travels that fast for him to get there in 30 minutes after he was last spotted. Joseph Shons of Sacramento told police he had inadvertently wound up spending the night of February 24th, 25th near where the Montego was found. He had driven up. There's another suspect then.
Yeah.
He had driven up there where he had a cabin to check the snowpack in advance of a weekend ski trip with his family. At 5:30 p.m., about 150 feet up the road, Sean's too had gotten stuck in the snow. In the process of trying to free, he realized he was beginning to experience the early symptoms of a heart attack and went back in, keeping the engine running to provide heat.
Mm.
How did he know what the early symptoms of a heart attack was?
Yeah.
6 hours later, unless he had one awake, lying in the car and experiencing severe pain, Sean saw headlights coming up behind him. Looking out, he saw a car packed behind him, headlights on with a group of people around it, one of which seemed to him to be a woman holding a baby. He called to the party for help, but they stopped talking and turned their headlights out. Later, he saw more lights behind him. This time, flashlights also went out when he called to them. After that, Sean's said that at first he recalled a pickup truck parking 20 feet behind him briefly, then continued on down the road. I fucking gutted my shoe. You're having a heart attack and everyone's just ignoring you. Like you're on the most deserted road. You must think, this is it. I'm never going to be found. Then 300 cars go past and every single one of them don't stop. Later, he clarified to the police that he could not be sure of that, since at the time he was almost delirious from the pain he was in. After Sean's car ran out of gasoline in the early morning hours, his pain subsided enough for him to walk 8 miles down the road to a lodge where the manager drove him back home, passing the abandoned Montego at the point where he'd recalled hearing the voices originate from. Doctors later confirmed he had indeed experienced a mild heart attack. Where's mum? Said ignoring someone's pleas for help was not like her son, if indeed he had been present. She recalled, he's sort of, he's like, if you're worried about your own safety, isn't it? So she recalled how he and Sterling had helped someone they knew get to hospital after overdosing on Valium. So it was, they was probably all very helpful, like lads. But you know, I don't know what this guy has, he's been ignored by a pickup truck. So what's he blaming them for? The other notable reports from a woman who worked in a store. She was the one complaining that they'd gone in, I suppose. I mean, it took too long. I wanted to shut the shop. A couple of people had seen them. Then the discovery of the bodies. With the evidence not pointing to any clear conclusion about what happened the night the five men disappeared, police and the families were not ruling out the possibility that they'd met with some foul play. Well, Vinnie Jones came in and tackled them, did he? The eventual discovery of four of the five men's bodies seemed to suggest otherwise, but raised even more questions about what had happened that night and whether at least one of them might have been rescued. On June the 4th, with most of the higher elevation snow melted, the group of motorcyclists went to a trailer maintained by the United States Forest Service at a campsite off the road about 19.4 miles from where the Montego had been found. The front window of the trailer had been broken. When they opened the door, they were overcame by the odour of what turned out to be a decaying body inside. It was later identified as Weir's. Yeah, he was wrapped up, wasn't he? In a
in a bed.
Swaddled.
Yeah, he was actually in bed and he was tucked in like somebody's tucked him in.
Yeah. But missing but toes actually, and shit. Yeah. Had like frost.
Yeah.
Frost.
He actually walked nearly 20 miles without a coat to that cabin.
Yeah. But they're claiming like the other bloke who ain't been found yet, Gary.
Gary?
His shoes are also in this cabin, weren't they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's really strange. And they also found open tins of food.
Oh, that's they did have a tin opener.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who brought that then? Gary?
Gary?
Do you reckon it's one of those really shit tin openers where you do it and it opens every little bit, but you have to go around it about four or five times?
I reckon they rubbed two sticks together until they melted the top of the tin open. That's what I think. So the weird thing about that was, like, these will probably get into it in a minute, but the weird thing about that was that I couldn't work out, like, they're claiming... The theories that they posed on the so let's just talk. Like, I don't really need to go through much more of this. The other, I will have a look to see if there's anything on, but we haven't seen. But I'll scroll down. But the other guys, three of the other bodies were found, just bones in clothes, basically. Like they'd been eaten by animals. They was basically all close little bit away. But this was the first person they found, and then they found the others fairly near. But this one had been alive for a considerable period of time. Slowly starving to death over X amount of days or weeks or whatever. But the theories they came up with was that this Gary could have basically just turned on him with his schizophrenia. He didn't have his medication, beat everyone up and left them for dead or whatever. And then he's still alive. But the other theory was that a group of people that didn't like him, like he had enemies in the town or whatever, had like basically commandeered the car, took them all up into the thing and scared them, beat up this Gary, chucked him over the bridge, then took the other four into the woods. They've got his shoes somehow. from when they beat him up, they took his shoes. I don't know why they've took his shoes and why he would bother carrying them to the cabin. I do not know.
Before you chuck me over, could I take my shoes off?
I don't want to ruin my shoes, but you're not going to be alive. Anyway, so that was the other theory, that the others got so scared by these other boys that they fucking run off in all different directions, panicked when they got stuck in the snow, and they all just died. They succumbed to the elements. But neither of them make much sense, because the shoes don't make any sense.
No.
So if Gary had gone to the cabin with the other guy, then why would he leave the cabin without his shoes?
Yeah, here's one for you. In regards to the shoes, they apparently were sneakers. That he left in the cabin. Maybe the guy in the bed had proper shoes, like warmer shoes. So they changed shoes. He took his. He left his shoes, and then fucked off.
What? So the other shoes weren't there.
I don't see. I didn't see or hear any mention of the guy, the Mayhurst guy shoes in that cabin. So maybe he took, yeah.
Yeah, he could do. But then I don't know why you'd leave. Maybe his shoes were warmer.
But that's what I'm saying.
Gary didn't have enough clothes to stay alive.
No, he did. He didn't even have a coat.
Surely he would have died as well. Like, unless he had.
Maybe it was all planned, mate. Maybe he planned the whole thing. Maybe he planned. Like he took clothes that would keep him warm in that sort of environment, and the rest didn't. And he knew they would struggle. He thought to himself, because apparently, when the sheriff interviewed an ex-girlfriend of this Mateus had a fantasy to make some people disappear. So, like, to take some people somewhere and make
them himself as a bit of a Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Basically that. So maybe he's just acting out his fantasy. Maybe that's what he's doing. And he thought to himself, what easier people to lead on up to the up this mountain?
Maybe he made himself disappear, and an actual magic trick, and his shoes remained.
Maybe they
based his body vanished. You know, like when you see them people that put a sheet up and then like they quickly hide behind the wall and drop the sheet and they're beyond. I bet he did that. He was in the cupboard, but his shoes remained there. They said that they got to the cabin. They said, oh, Gary, do some of that magic you've been studying. And he said, all right.
Do you want some? I'll give it you.
And then he done some. But they got more than they bargained for.
He was, I think he was, how can I say, more in touch with responsibility that like the wrong.
Well, yeah. They said that he had mental kind of schizophrenia. Like he had anger issues and stuff like that. I'm not sure he had learning difficulties. He might have had. I don't really.
That's why they said he didn't belong in that group.
Yeah.
Because
that's right.
He didn't fit.
Yeah.
He didn't fit in that group. He just had a drug problem. He had schizophrenia.
But he also didn't fit in his shoes. That's why he left them behind. These are too small for me.
The thing is, with people with schizophrenia, mate, they can have really violent episodes.
Yeah.
And, mate, like, even his relatives in that documentary said if he didn't take his medication, he would get violent.
Yeah. And Speaking of violent episodes, like, I didn't know this, but, like, the other day... I was like, I'm going to go off topic for a quick second here. We'll be back to this topic. Don't worry. This is what cars we're allowed to do this. Right.
Yeah.
But I was listening to a podcast, fell asleep listening to a podcast the other night. When I woke up, it was Bernard O'Mahony on the podcast.
Really?
It was some random podcast. It just flipped to another one that I must've listened to in the past. And it had him on there. And he was talking about Rise of the Foot Soldier 5. Right.
Really?
Right.
Oh, God.
And it's about him. And it's a couple of years old now. And they said, was you surprised who they got to play you in that film? And it had all the outside of Raquel's and everything. By the way, this is like the a local thing that happened in the main streets back in the 90s, the Range Rover murders, etc., which some bloke claimed that we should have been in because we're not flat earthers. That's what you get for flat earthers. We should have been killed in that Range Rover. That's what he said.
Oh, right.
But anyway, they mocked up all the outside of Raquel's and make it look exactly right. I watched a trailer. But they said to Bernie, was you surprised at who they got to play you in that film? And he said, yeah, I was surprised because I was expecting them to get Barry from EastEnders. But you know who played him in it?
God.
Vinnie Jones.
Really?
Yeah. That's the second time Vinnie Jones has been mentioned on this show today. Which
He's
never been mentioned before. But I watched the thing and a bit of Vinnie Jones, you fucking want some? And always a bit like the Wildstone Raider. But Bernie was a northern guy.
Do you want some? I'll give it you.
So Vinnie Jones didn't really fit the role, but anyway, I thought I'd get that in because you spoke about violent episodes. I thought that was quite a violent episode of Eyes of the Foot Soldier. what else? 2 days later, so they talk about the other, they found his son. So who its father found his son's backbone.
Yeah.
Like his backbone fell out of his clothes. I know.
Oh, that's my son.
Yeah, that's him. I'd recognize that backbone anywhere. So they're going about this stuff in the trailer. So a nickel ring with Ted engraved in it and a gold necklace. So they identified them for basically the jewelry that was remaining, the clothes that were remaining. And we had a can opener. So they had the sea rations had been opened with a P-38 can opener. Sounds like a gun. So they would have had them on military. They probably had them on them key rings. Not key rings, like the Swiss Army knives. They probably had them on them.
The Swedish Army knives.
So here's a theory then from Wikipedia. Even knowing that 4 of the 5 men had died in the Sierra, investigations could still could not completely explain what had led to their deaths.
I thought they died in the cabin.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realise it was Sierra. I thought it was a Montego. They still had found no explanation for why the men were there, although they learned that the Mathias had friends in the small town of Forbeston. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah,
and police believed it was possible. An attempt to visit them on his way back home, the men may have taken a wrong turn near Oroville or put them on the mountain road. For whatever reason, the men had left the Montego and had, instead of going back down the road where they had passed the lodge, continued along the road. So that's what would... If you get stuck, you'd go the way you come, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like you'd follow your car tracks to... that's what's weird. The day before the men went missing, a USFS snowcat had gone along the road in that direction to clear the snow off the trailer roof so it would not collapse. Well, that's Andy. They just starved to death instead of getting collapsed on.
Yeah.
It was possible police believed that the group had decided to follow the tracks. So they'd followed the tracks they're saying, potentially, to the snowcat, thinking, there'll be a car up here. That's fresh tracks. Let's go follow them. Could be. Most likely, Madruga and Sterling died of hypothermia about halfway through the long walk to the trailer. It is assumed that once they found the trailer, the other three broke the window to enter. Since it was locked, they may have believed it was private property and feared arrest or theft, so they used anything else they found there. After Weir died, or after the others thought he had died, they may have decided to try to get back to civilization by different ways, such as walking over land. Yeah, so that's their theory. Now, we've all spoke of two of our theories. Some woman, that's the Gary bloke, isn't it? Gary Dale Mathias.
Yeah.
Gary!
So that's the theories they said. But they also, there was one woman in the show that also said that she'd seen him.
Months
after or whatever in a bar.
Yeah.
But that was one of the other kids' mums, wasn't it? Or aunts or something?
Yeah, it was walking along a road and she saw him and I don't know how true this is, but apparently he used to walk long miles over in wilderness anyway. So it wasn't nothing out of the ordinary to him to walk over
with no shoes on. It probably is, though, to be fair.
Yeah. Or getting thrown in a river.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Common sense tells me it's him. If they've not found his body, even today, if they've not found his body, then it just tells me that he killed them.
Yeah, man. Or he fell in a river. Like, if he'd have died anywhere on land, they would have found his bones. They found everyone else's bones.
Yeah.
But I heard like that Nathan went with them. And when I was following the tracks, I was going up the mountain and he's going, this is the way down. And he went,
doesn't go down. Are you dumb?
So he went the other way, lived. Or murdered him, don't
I? I think Nathan could be quite psychotic.
He sounds it, don't I?
Yeah. He's the kind of guy who thinks shouting wins arguments. Yeah.
Well, so maybe change the subject.
No.
Yeah. No, mate.
Can literally have a conversation with him.
Balls, mate. Is gas going down? Go boom, boom.
I've done there's like an argument with the Raider and him. I played it the other day. So, what the fuck is it? I can't even. Oh, yeah. It was this.
Is gas going down? Go boom, boom.
No, that ain't it. I've gone too far. Let me try again. Oh, I don't know. Is it on the same? Oh, it's that way.
Is gas going down? Go boom, boom.
You useless, spatty little tongue.
Doesn't go down. Are you dumb?
I'd love them two to get into a bit of a row. Right, anyway, so what are we saying here then? I am saying, could the lack of Gary...
Gary!
His shoes still being in the thing is weird. Mm. So that... I think they're all dead. I think he died as well, probably first. And for some reason they took his shoes. I don't know why.
The thing is...
Maybe they all beat him to death because they liked his shoes.
Yeah. And maybe he had the thick jacket and they was all trying to nick it and they killed each other.
Yeah. Maybe they thought they was having a WrestleMania. They were like turning on each other.
The thing is, if he survived, where is he today? Because there's no way you can get away with not...
No, and also he'd be fucking old now as well.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, how old was he then? Like late 20s, wasn't he?
Hmm.
So he'd be probably dead if he was alive. That doesn't make any sense, does it? If he was alive, he'd be dead.
It's 46 years ago.
Mm.
So, 46, 56, 66, about 70 years old.
Yeah. So, I don't think he'd be... If he's still wandering the wilderness at 70 with no shoes, he's definitely a survivor. He deserves.
Yeah.
He deserves his flowers.
Do you know what? So I just want to mention some of the people they interviewed in that documentary.
Yeah, go on,
fucking weird, mate.
Mm.
Like, I reckon really
it could be any one of them people that was.
Yeah.
It's like one of them towns would you trust anyone in that town? Like, that's how
no.
I. Yeah.
It's like when they was talking about like these the man and woman who was getting interviewed together and the bloke broke down in tears. I think it was 46 years ago, mate. Does it really still hit that hard?
It's his brother, Lee.
No,
you heartless fucker. Are you saying like if you lost one of your brothers, you're just a couple of weeks ago now, get over it. You still get a tear about Kingston fucking Hakeem Ali.
Yeah, but he was different, mate.
He's a dog.
He was a legend, exactly.
not so much about for the other one, though. Atlanta. What was the other one?
Atlanta.
Yeah, but that didn't have a kennel name as well.
Oh, I can't remember.
That was Ebony Dark Skies.
No, Ebony Dark Skies was King.
How many names did he have?
No, yeah.
So Lee had these two Alsatians back in the day, German Shepherds, whatever you want to call them, and one of them was called Atlanta and had no names at all other than that. And the other one was called King, but its real name was Kingston Hakeem Ali and Ebony Dark fucking Skies.
Would that be racist today?
Don't know, but why did it have six names and the other one had one?
Because we didn't name the other one. I have no idea. I know why I called it Ali because of Muhammad Ali.
I remember we had this conversation in Tenerife. It's on the actual video, me having me going, why is it called that? I was like, Nathan Oakley.
Like, I don't know where I got the word Hakeem from. I think it was from
the wrestler,
film.
That one.
No, I think it was from the film Coming to America.
Oh, right.
King Hakeem.
Right. But what? But the Ebony Dark Skies was a candle, no?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But you just called it the other
shit. We didn't name that.
Right.
We didn't do
the
that.
The other one definitely had a name. A kennel name.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
You unbelievable clown.
Right, so make of it what you will, this Yuba County 5. I don't want to accuse anyone of it, but I'd suspect the entire of everyone in Yuba County, myself. But
more likely
to be Gary. More likely, if you what you say is true, and Gary wanted a to it was his fantasy to make people disappear.
Yeah,
and then he just fucked it up at the end and forgot his shoes and died as well. That could be it.
Yeah. He could have killed them, then fucked off into the wilderness and fuck it in barefoot. And why did they say barefoot?
He had bear's feet.
Bear's feet, yeah.
That's why he was shitting in the woods.
Yeah.
Does bear a bear feet. Shit in the woods?
Bear naked. What? Yeah. I'm naked like a bear.
Or when people talk these days, like the modern, like younger people, and they say, oh, that was bear something else. That was bear.
Bear jokes.
Yeah, what the fuck does that mean?
No, fucking morons. Naked jokes.
I like it. Like, people do that to impress the birds, but I like it back in my day when we used to go clubbing and say,
"Hello, ladies." Yeah.
With a raider.
What was our word when people used to lie? Beard.
Beard.
Yeah, beard.
Yeah. If someone says to me beard, I say I fucking am hard. You cunt. Right, anyway.
You're a pair of pricks.
He always tells us that at the end.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, so that we don't know. We haven't solved it. We're about as good as Hamish Campbell with this, right? But we've got our suspicions that everyone looked a bit strange. Thanks, Stevie, for the recommendation of this show.
Yeah.
And please hit me up on any social media to anyone out there that's got suggestions of this show at Whatcast or at Whatcast Podcast, depending on whether I've been banned or not and had to change it to Whatcast Podcast because at Whatcast is no longer available because they banned me. That's same as TikTok.
When you say hit me up, someone uppercuts you.
Probably. But
hit me up.
I'd be in bare trouble if they did that. But like Jake Paul when he fights Tyson, even though Tyson's 107. I don't know. That's like 2 minute rounds, isn't it? That.
Yeah, 2 minute rounds, 16 ounce gloves.
And now they're talking about if they might be wearing headgear as well.
Yeah, not allowed to knock each other out.
People are going to pay to watch that.
Oh, no, it's bullshit, mate. It's utter bullshit. You might as well go and watch a fucking white collar boxing show.
Yeah. What? Two vicars fighting each other. That won't be much fun. Right, anyway, we're going to shut this down for this week. Next week is Patreon week, so don't forget patreon.com/whatcast, or you can get it on the Spotify, Whatcast Patreon, and it is the Royal Family Conspiracies, about 40 of them, wouldn't it, Lee? 40 or 50 over the years. Yeah. That's ready to go next Sunday. That'll be on video and on audio next Sunday instead of this Whatcast. So go subscribe there now. Thanks to two new subscribers during the night. So cheers to them. Thanks very much. And what you got anything to say, Lee, to close this show?
Desco bam boom boom.
Hang on a minute. You're gonna have to argue properly then if you're gonna do that.
Is gas going down, go boom boom?
Yes.
It doesn't go down. Are you dumb?
Yes.
Anyway. See you later. Adios for now. We'll catch you next time we see you. See you later.
You have been listening to Whatcast. Follow and contact us on the Twitter, the Book of Face, and the Gram of Insta at Whatcast with a K.